Coming up, the earliest example of a wooden structure intentionally made by humans. AI being used to decipher ancient papyrus scrolls. And the boards of the Bard. Welcome to Time Team News, your monthly dose of archaeology stories and discoveries from Britain and across the globe. Well, it's episode 4, and to catch up with earlier episodes, we've created a playlist. Check out the link below. Since we launched the show, we've received about 250,000 views so far in total, so thank you so much for tuning in. And you can now listen on the go with our new audio-only version available on all the main podcast platforms such as Podbean and Apple Podcasts. Details in the description box below. But back to the news. We've got some fantastic stories lined up for you this month, including some suggested by you. So let's get started. This next story was suggested by one of our Patreon members, Joanne Kellum, and it's about AI, or artificial intelligence, being used to decipher some ancient papyrus scrolls. A researcher from the University of Kentucky has joined forces with a couple of Silicon Valley entrepreneurs to launch the Vesuvius Challenge, a competition that harnesses machine learning technology to reveal the contents of ancient scrolls, and big prizes are being offered to those who can do it. You may have heard of the devastating eruption of Mount Vesuvius in AD 79 that engulfed the towns of Pompeii and Herculaneum under metres of ash and mud. During the 1750s, excavations at Herculaneum uncovered a huge palatial villa that was later named the Villa of the Papyri due to the extensive library of scrolls that were discovered there. Due to the heat of the eruption, the scrolls are heavily carbonised, a bit like being baked in a really hot oven, and as such they really easily turn to dust. But over the years there have been all kinds of attempts to unroll them, from cutting them vertically to putting them in a box and covering them in liquid mercury, which ultimately destroyed them. In the 1750s, a Vatican archivist, Father Piaggio, invented a machine which took several years to gradually unroll the scrolls millimetre by millimetre. In 2019, Dr. Brent Seals from the University of Kentucky used a particle accelerator called the Diamond Light Source, one of the most powerful X-ray facilities in the world, to create a 3D scan of the internal structure of a scroll. But in some ways, that was only the beginning, because what you have is a spiral of layers that just creates a mix, a jumble of hundreds of letters. So Dr. Seal and his team have been working on virtually unwrapping the scroll. But it doesn't stop there, because it turns out that the ink that was used to write on the scrolls with is carbon-based, and that doesn't show up very well on the X-rays against the carbonized papyrus. And this is where the Vesuvius Challenge comes in. Contributors are developing AI software to differentiate between the papyrus and the ink, and using machine learning to identify individual letters, which will ultimately lead to revealing full words and sentences. Once it's been revealed, the text will be passed on to ancient Greek scholars for translation. Several prizes have already been awarded. Luke Faritor, a 21-year-old student from the University of Nebraska, won $40,000 when he developed a model that was able to reveal the word porphyrus, an ancient Greek word for purple. Many ancient texts are only known about because they're mentioned in later writings. We don't have the originals. At Herculaneum, there are about 600 scrolls that are unrolled and unread, so it's just possible that we might have, from the Villa of the Papyri, some original ancient texts. And the other exciting prospect is that there are many areas of the Villa of the Papyri that haven't been excavated yet, so there are potentially hundreds more scrolls yet to be discovered. One of the great things about the Vesuvius Challenge is that it's a collaborative interaction between researchers from different backgrounds. It's an open source project where researchers are encouraged to share their findings, processes and data with each other for the benefit of all. But will the $700,000 grand prize be won for reading four passages of text? We'll have to wait and see. World news now, and this takes us to Kalambo Falls in Zambia in South Central Africa. Kalambo Falls is the second largest waterfall in Africa, and it's long been of interest to archaeologists due to the Stone Age activity in the area. An international team of archaeologists have uncovered what's thought to be the earliest example of a wooden structure intentionally made by humans. This simple structure takes the form of two shaped pieces of timber that have been modified to slot together with a notch system. Now, the level of preservation is amazing because it was found in waterlogged conditions, and the team have been able to conduct a sophisticated dating technique known as optically stimulated luminescence. And the date that's come back is 476,000 years ago. This pushes the findings way back to a time that predates anatomically modern humans. Another technique, infrared spectroscopy, suggests that fire might have been used to help to make the notch in the wood. Now, this suggests that our early hominid forebears were using fairly complicated techniques, and that challenges our existing ideas of early human development. The findings were published in Nature by the universities Liverpool, Aberystwyth, Royal Holloway, Algarve and Liege, the British Museum and the National Museums Board, Zambia. Now, we caught up with the lead author, Professor Barham from the University of Liverpool, and it turns out he's no stranger to Time Team. He featured in our episode Caves of the Cheddar Gorge way back in Series 6. Now, of the Kalambo Falls, Professor Barham wrote to Time Team to say, "This find has changed how I think about early ancestors. Forget about the label Stone Age. Look at what these people were doing. They made something new and large from wood. They had the tools for the job, and they used their intelligence, imagination, and skills to create something they'd never seen before. They transformed their surroundings to make life easier, even if it was only making a platform to sit on by the river to do their daily chores. These folks were more like us than we thought." And if you'd like to find out more about this discovery, there's a link to the academic journal published in Nature in the description box below. This year marks the 400th anniversary of William Shakespeare's First Folio. And it's thanks to this landmark publication that we've got so many of Shakespeare's works today. But Shakespeare has been in the news recently for other reasons. A historic theatre in Norfolk has recently uncovered 15th century floorboards that were once trodden by Shakespeare himself. Helen has been along to investigate the boards of the Bard.
Tim!
I'm Helen.
Hi.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
I recognise you from the paper boat at Queenborough, don't I?
Yes, that was a very exciting time, team, a long time ago.
Yes,
very
yes.
Very wet and salty fish, I remember.
Yes,
a lot of that.
But you've dried out now.
I have dried out, yes, and we're now inside. There's no river danger, hopefully, today.
Well, we are inside, aren't we? But yeah. I was expecting a medieval guild hall. I wasn't expecting a fully functioning theatre to be here.
No. Well, I mean, we call it the oldest working theatre in the country. And the reason for that is that we've got recorded drama happening in this venue in the 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 1900s, and now, of course, in the 2000s today.
But what's the connection with Shakespeare?
Well, it's pretty strong. We have the corporation account books, which show a payment going from the Corporation of King's Lynn to William Shakespeare's company at the time, the Earl of Pembroke's men, in 1592-93. So we know that his company was paid to turn up. We know that Shakespeare was on stage in that period because he got a bad review, the Upstart Crow Review, written by Robert Greene. So it refers to Shakespeare as a player rather than as a writer. So we've got the idea that he's on stage in those years as well. Shakespeare's comedian, Robert Armin, was born in King's Lynn, just literally one street away from this venue. And Armin created all the really weird and funny parts, the fool in King Lear, the porter in the Scottish play. And we've still got features that Shakespeare would have seen when he came here. You know, the seats wouldn't have been here quite clearly in this arrangement. But we've got this fantastic scissor brace ceiling that Shakespeare would have seen, would have known. We've got the windows all still here that he would have seen and would have known. We've now got another exciting find about something Shakespeare would have known really well when he came to the venue. And it's just down there.
Can you show me?
Yeah, yeah.
Great. What is this hole in the floor?
So we've got some Towns Fund money, which is we're trying to spend to do up the theatre and renovate it. We're working in partnership, the Borough of King's Lynn with the National Trust. And as part of that, we were able to pay an archaeologist team to come and do a massive survey of the venue.
So this is a kind of trial trench.
This is a trial trench, exactly right. So it's a 1 metre square, give or take, trench, so that we could try and test that what we hoped might be there.
This
was
is, in fact,
there.
This is a test pit.
It is a test pit.
In a floor,
it
in
is.
A theatre.
Yeah.
Upstairs.
Yeah. That's right. Well, archaeology isn't just about going underground. You can go through layers of buildings and still get archaeological information. And that's really what we've done here. And what we found underneath here is the original floor.
So what are we seeing here? This is a joist for this floor.
That's right, the 1950s floor.
Then
we're not sure how old this one is yet, but we do know that it's either 18th century or conceivably early 19th century. It's obviously older than the 1950s floor. And then below that, you've got the real prize, which is this original gilt floor from 1417, 1420. So these are the boards on which Shakespeare would have performed in 1592-93 when he came to play in King's Lynn. So these are the boards on which the bard trod. So when we say we're treading the boards with Shakespeare, we mean the actual boards here, which is really exciting.
So that would have been, this would have been about 170 years old when Shakespeare came to perform in this space.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
That is phenomenal.
I mean, it's really exciting, isn't it? Yeah. And what's really exciting about it is we think this is generally the area that Shakespeare would have been performing in the venue itself. Down there, like that, mind your fingers. Yep.
There we go. The thing that's occurring to me, though, now, is that you and your parents and all the people who are getting ready for tonight's performance, they are performing in a space with the same roof, etc. Everything that Shakespeare would have seen.
Yeah.
You're in the same place as Shakespeare acted.
Yeah.
That's kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, no,
it
really is. Yeah. I mean, there isn't another place like it in I can't think of another theatre that's still working that can say, oh, yeah, no, we've had Shakespeare here.
Please do look out for our extended coverage over on Patreon.
Yeah. This is the ceiling of the floor below, and of course it's the floor above.
The history of Shakespeare is endlessly fascinating, and to celebrate the anniversary of the first folio, we're releasing a classic Time Team special, Searching for Shakespeare's House. Look out for it very soon on YouTube.
And the pressure's on to make the most of this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get really intimate with one of Britain's greatest sons.
So what else has been happening with Time Team? Well, we've just released a feature-length edit of our Knights Hospitaller Preceptory Dig that combines all the 3 days into one single video.
I am reasonably confident, and if we're right, I might just buy John Gator a drink.
And another milestone, our Digging Band of Brothers special has reached 1 million views in under a month.
You can understand why, can't you?
Some of our Time Team friends and family, led by our very own Dr. Lawrence Shaw, have been involved in the excavation of a First World War training camp, which was designed to prepare soldiers for the trenches. Let's have a look what they've been up to.
Between 1915 and 1920, hundreds of thousands of troops were based here in Clipston Camp. Lawrence has assembled a team, including people from Forestry England, Operation Nightingale, Nottinghamshire Council, and of course Time Team, to investigate their training area that's been protected by these trees for nearly 100 years.
We've got these beautiful traditional crenellated First World War trenches that most people would recognise. It looks like the top of a castle. But we've also got these slightly different ones with these giant pits with linear connections. And we don't quite understand the difference between those trenches.
We found the natural
here. I personally don't recognise this as a typical type of trenching network.
How's it going in your trench?
Oh, don't stand so close to me. Nothing came up. I think the amount of vegetation here, we're probably looking at a good foot or two before we find the bottom of the trench.
We've got our first artefact.
Fantastic.
The Forest to Frontline project is also delivered in collaboration with the Minor to Major Landscape Partnership project, which is supported by the National Lottery Heritage Fund. And we look forward to following this project in 2024. Well, that's it for this month. Please do let us know about the stories and discoveries that you'd like to see featured in the comments section below. 3D models from this month's stories are available over on Patreon. But why become a Patreon member? Well, for starters, you get access to additional classic specials from the archive. And there's DigWatch coverage, which takes you behind the scenes of yet-to-be-released episodes, extended interviews from our monthly news items, and you get to take part in live Q&A sessions with members of the team. Plus, your membership directly supports our excavations. We're getting closer to our goal of 10,000 active paid members. And if we reach that goal by the end of the year, we hope to announce some exciting developments. Well, thank you again for watching. Please remember to subscribe. That's all from me for now, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
Join Time Team on Patreon to access exclusive 3D models, masterclasses, and behind-the-scenes insights.